Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We still have Nick Redfern, and we're exploring the book What Lurks Beyond the Paranormal in Your Backyard, page after page, cover to cover, with Jason Offutt. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast in our final hour, and you were talking about molten metal appearing where again?
In a park called Big Lake Park in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Like I said, about six people in various points of the park saw this glowing object, this white glowing object with a red ring around it, drop something red from underneath it, and then take off in the sky. And when they went to the spot, there was 2,000 pounds of molten slag sitting on a levee in this park. And like I said, it was still white hot in the center. There was a seldom used railway station, but railroad tracks very well, fairly close to it. But, and that's what people tried to say, well, they just dumped the slag. Well, I mean, it was 200 yards away from this spot. How was that possible? Nobody could really answer the question. The only answer that came was what this stuff was, and it was smelter slag. It was what was left over when all the good bits of metal were taken out. Jacques Vallée investigated this and published a research paper on various accounts just like this all over the world. So, that's something that still hasn't been explained.
Wasn't there an investigative team came out from a local Air Force base or something like that? Is that that same case?
Oh, yes. It's from a local Air Force base, which was Offutt. It still is Offutt Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
They came out and looked at it. They took some of the slag. Some of the slag was also sent to Wright-Patterson Field, and I tried to file a Freedom of Information Act request with them, and got all. They claimed to have absolutely none of it. They claimed to know nothing about it, even though there were well documented reports that in newspapers and in magazine articles at the time that investigators from Wright-Patterson came and took some of the material. I did speak with somebody from Ames, Iowa at the university who was on faculty then at the time who personally looked into this and claimed that it was just smelter slag. But still, it really hadn't been explained adequately.
And why would it be dropped there?
One of the speculations from UFO researchers is that UFOs they will extract metal from the ground and take from it what they need and just dump the excess wherever they happen to be.
You know, if you look through the historical UFO field, back in 1947, the Maury Island case that many now consider to be a hoax, what was happening? Well, UFOs were dropping slag into the river.
Right, and that's one of the cases that Jacques Vallée mentions in his report. He does mention the Maury Island case, along with cases in Brazil and in Europe.
But analyzing all this material, it's never weird. It's always normal.
Always. There's a guy named Bob White that I interviewed from Reed Spring, Missouri.
He was on the Paracast during our first year.
Right. Yeah. He found. So you're familiar with this. He found some material that he saw fall from what he said was a UFO, a light that took off and vanished into the sky. And when he's had it investigated, it was just what they found in Council Bluffs. It was just smelter slag. So that's pretty common, I think.
Mm.
Now another UFO case happened a lot closer, about 11 miles from where I'm sitting right now, back in the early 1980s. I interviewed the first person who found this. He was 14 years old at the time and was walking the soybean field. And that's what happens in the Midwest. Farmers hire 14, 15-year-old kids to walk through with machetes and cut down all the weeds. And he and his brother were walking, and they found burn marks, scorch marks on the soybeans, and then they found like a 10 to 15-foot crater and scorch marks on the other side that looked like something had hit the earth and skipped off. Nobody ever could find the object that skipped off. Investigators from Offutt Air Force Base came down, from the FAA, from the local university. Scientists came over to try and determine what happened, and nobody could determine what had happened there or what the object was. But the interesting thing is, during the course of the summer, the soybeans within 15 feet of that crater grew twice as tall as everything else, and there were no weeds that would grow in that area, which is fairly fascinating to me.
So the alien gardening techniques or the ways they landscape, maybe we should learn something from them.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, Jason, just completely off track compared to UFOs, is sort of this weird story of what became known as, or who became known as, Jim the Wonder Dog.
That's a terrific story, Jim the Wonder Dog. In Marshall, Missouri. Now, I did cheat on this. This is just a little bit outside my 100-mile radius, but it's just too fun of a story for me to leave out. In the 1920s, a man named Sam Van Arsdale, who owned a hotel in Marshall, Missouri, which is in close to central Missouri, but not quite, a friend of his gave him a hunting dog, a English Llewellyn setter that was the runt of a litter. And, of course, you don't want that. You want the alpha male. So, but the joke was on Van Arsdale's friend, because this thing became the best hunting dog in the state. There were all sorts of magazines and newspaper articles about what a great hunting dog this was. And then Van Arsdale noticed something. When he would just ask a question or make a statement, Jim would go do it. Like, I wonder how many people are standing in the hotel lobby from Kansas City, and Jim would go up to individuals, and Van Arsdale would walk up and ask where they're from. Oh, I'm from Kansas City. He would start asking, Jim, go find the man in the brown shoes. If there was one man in this lobby with brown shoes, Jim would go find them. He would go find specific license plate numbers. He would go find specific colors. I interviewed, she's rather elderly now, she's in her mid to late 80s, but she was a young girl back when Jim was alive. And one day she was, one Saturday, she was in the hotel lobby, because that was a meeting place, and she had 10 pennies in her purse. That's the allowance her parents got her. And Van Arsdale knew this, and he said to Jim, go find the girl with 10 pennies in her purse, and he went directly to this girl. The girl started crying because she didn't want Jim to take her money. But the dog would follow commands in German, Spanish, Italian, Latin, would follow written commands in shorthand in various languages. And, you know, Van Arsdale was just a guy from central Missouri. He didn't know how to speak anything, probably couldn't speak English that well. So nobody could really explain what this dog was doing. He predicted the sex of a baby. If some woman came in and asked what, you know, is it going to be a boy or a girl, Jim could pick it out. He predicted Kentucky Derby winners and things like this. It was all pretty fascinating, and Hollywood even came to try and buy Jim from Van Arsdale, because, you know, if you have a dog that can read the script, you don't need to train it. But Van Arsdale just wanted to hunt. He, to his credit, he didn't try to make money off Jim.
And have you come across any other kind of stories along those lines of, I guess, I know, psychic animals, ghostly animals, things like that?
Well, I've talked to people, there are a couple of, about this, and all I've, you know, been able to come up with is there's a couple of fairly famous cases involving horses that could do you know, certain trick-like things that made them seem psychic, but come to find out their owners were prompting them. Nobody could ever find this out with Jim.
So have you ever found any other instances where dogs do really, really weird stuff?
Well, not really weird. Just, I mean, pets will act like there's somebody in the room when there's not. I mean, there might be somebody in the room. We just can't see them. The only thing I can see with animals that's anywhere psychic is I don't like cats, and anytime I'm in the room with a cat, it sits right in my lap.
It's trying to convince you that you have to change your ways, Jason.
It must be it.
I stay away from cats because my wife is allergic to cat hair. So I have no choice there, you know. Not that I dislike cats, but, you know, there you go. We have Jason Offutt. He is author of What Lurks Beyond the Paranormal in Your Backyard. We've been exploring all the strange events with some slight cheating in one case where he looked into a paranormal event that happened a little bit outside of his jurisdiction, but we won't say anything to his publisher about it. Nick Redfern joins us this week as co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey neighbors, have you been thinking about starting a website? Well, I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a world-famous leader in web hosting, and they make it easy for you to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and great selection of templates. Use the coupon code PowerCast. Once again, use the coupon code PowerCast and sign up at this special address, thepowercast.com/gator. That's G-A-T-O-R, thepowercast.com/gator. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll free 1-877-330-1120. That's 877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish M10 gas masks are $3 for $30, and Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio.
You guys are awesome.
I love this station. I really do.
GCN.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
Nick Redfern is our co-host. The guest is Jason Offutt, author of What Lurks Beyond the Paranormal in Your Backyard. You mentioned Air Force Base. Is that the same name as your name?
Yes. I don't know if we're related way back when, but there aren't many Offutts around, so there's a very good case we are.
Oh.
He's a, he's the first person to die, first pilot to die in World War One.
So your family goes back quite a few years in this country.
Yeah, we've got my dad was in Sons of the American Revolution, so we've been here for quite a long time.
Well, my family came from Eastern Europe, my grandparents, so I'm just a latecomer. Nick, you want to follow up on this?
Yeah, I mean, I read Jason's book, I was fascinated by it, and one of the areas that gets covered, and I think, you know, it's an area that surfaces now and again, is, I guess, ghostly famous figures, and certainly one of the most well-known ones, if not the only well-known one that Jason covers in his book, is the whole story of Jesse James, the well-known outlaw. And I just wondered if, number one, Jason, you could talk about this case, and number two, if you have any theories as to why, you know, people seemingly see the ghosts of famous people more than anybody else. You know, is it just some sort of deep-seated need to believe they're still around, or is it, for whatever reason, you know, belief in them and fascination in them provokes them to appear? Who knows?
Well, yeah, maybe it's what the person wants to see. Maybe somebody's like, I'm in Jesse James' birthplace. I really want to see Jesse James. Oh, wait a second, there he is. It might be that, or it might be that they just recognize these people more than a lot of ghosts that people encounter. Yeah, I'm really not sure. Maybe certain famous ghosts just have the ego. Their ego lives longer than they did. I covered Jesse and Frank. I'm still waiting to get ghost stories on two other famous Missourians, Mark Twain and Walt Disney, but none of those have surfaced. Anyway, yeah, the Jesse James farm in Kearney, Missouri, Frank was not born there, but Jesse was, and there have been numerous encounters, mostly with Frank James at the home, because after Frank had gotten out of prison, he and his wife, Annie, lived at the home. And he would give tours of it because the James boys were famous, and he would give tours to people who walked by, and Annie absolutely hated this. And there have been lots of people who have reported seeing somebody who looked like Frank James, you know, looking at them through the window. Jesse and Frank's mom, Zerelda, actually Jesse's wife's name was Zerelda too, and as common as that name was not, guess what side of the family she's from. Anyway, his mom, if somebody's inside the house, there have been lots of reports, if somebody says anything disparaging about his mother, things will fall off the shelves. One woman said something, one of the docents there said something about Jesse's mom, and the earpiece to the phone that was mounted to the wall flew off toward her, and she said it would have hit her except for she was farther away than the cord was. So at the Jesse James home, there have been quite a few reports of, like I said, Frank and some of Annie and definitely of Jesse's mom.
So his mom is a real mama grizzly, huh?
Yeah, I wouldn't say anything bad about her. Now, Frank, at the nearby in Independence, Missouri, which isn't too far from Kearney, Frank was in jail there for a while after he finally got busted, and he was treated as a celebrity. He had a room all to himself, a cell all to himself. The door was left open, just like Otis the Drunk on the Andy Griffith Show. He could just come and go as he pleased. He would have dinner with the marshal and smoke cigars, and people report smelling cigar smoke there all the time, and it's on the National Register of Historic Places now, and you can't smoke. People, you know, they have to freshen the bed up almost every morning because it looks like somebody slept in it overnight. And one Christmas, they put a Christmas tree in Frank's cell. The next morning, the person who closed the building opened the building. Nobody else had been there, and the Christmas tree had been thrown out into the hallway. So there have been, like I said, a lot more reports about Frank than Jesse.
Well, maybe Frank has a stronger personality.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. Or maybe Jesse lived until he was 150, like the people in Texas think.
But looking back at those histories, have you explored the actual life history of these fabled figures of the past?
Well, I've read quite well, as any Missourian probably did, and, you know, growing up in elementary school and high school. I mean, that's we had to read about a lot of these people. So I know a bit about Jesse and a bit about Bob and Charlie Ford also. There was a house in Richmond, Missouri, which is about 15 minutes away from where I grew up, that the Ford family lived. And Charlie tried to kill himself, and he gave himself a head wound in the house. And I talked with people who purchased the house, and in one closet in this home, they smelled death, and they never could figure out what it was. They thought it was a mouse.
Now, when you say smelling death, in what sense, what are we sensing?
Something that's been dead for a while, something rotting. They thought it was a dead mouse in the walls, and they tore the walls up and couldn't find anything. And eventually, I don't put a lot of stock in psychics, but eventually they had a psychic come to the house, and the psychic said a few words, and all of a sudden the smell was gone.
Didn't use Lysol.
Yeah, maybe that was it. That could have helped.
Okay, well, I don't want to smell death, but I live in a relatively new place here. It's maybe 15, 20 years old, so I don't think that's going to happen. What about your home, Jason? Ever see anything really weird about it? Does it have a strange history, or is it just a recent development?
It's built in 1978, so no, there's really, really nothing here. Nothing here at all.
Mm.
There was something interesting in the house we owned before we moved to this town. It was a really old house. It was built in the late 1800s. And my wife and I just had a baby. And to get from our bedroom to the bathroom, you'd walk through the nursery. And about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, when my wife would get up to use the restroom, she would notice something that she said looked like Tinkerbell from Peter Pan over our baby's bed. And when she stared at it, it disappeared, and I didn't think much of it until I saw it. And like I said, I don't take much stock in psychics, but I was interviewing a psychic not too long after I saw it, and she said, "You're experiencing something weird in your house." And I explained to her the light over the baby's crib, and I didn't say the baby was a boy. I didn't say the baby's name, but she goes, "Well, that light's just your grandfather, Sam, who's looking after his namesake." And she nailed it.
Could she have done research about you before coming there, though?
Well, she didn't come there. She didn't come to the house. I called her at her house completely out of the blue. I'd never met her. I just started writing my first book about ghost stories. So she had no way of knowing who I was. And
she couldn't Google you fast enough.
When was this? Back 2005, I think, is when I talked with her. So, no, I there's no way she could have done any research on me because, like I said, I read something about her in a newspaper because she's one of those psychics who worked with the police department to find missing people. I found her name and said what town she lived in, looked her up in a telephone directory and called her.
And out of the blue, she gives you all this frightening information.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'd react to that. We have Jason Offutt. He's author of What Lurks Beyond, The Paranormal in Your Backyard. Maybe the airport is named after some member of his family. We'll never know, or maybe we will know. Nicholas Redfern is our co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2 sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with Lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I'm told that it has everything.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We have two more segments with Nick Redfern, our guest Jason Offutt, author of What Lurks Beyond the Paranormal in Your Backyard. I'm going to move to a totally different subject. There's a chapter in there, I noticed, about someone being possessed. Of course, those of you who have watched exorcism movies are going to appreciate this. Tell us the story.
Well, this is a story about a young man named Travis White. And when he was in his late teens, he started noticing a shadow person in his house. It was out of the corner of his eye, and eventually it started getting more and more into his direct line of sight until he could see it straight on. And one time when he saw it, it peeled a hood back, and he could see the face. And he said that it was hideously scarred, and said the nose was broken, and it said it looked horrible, and the thing started talking to him, and he knew that nobody else would be able to see this if they were in the room, just him. And he knew.
How did he know that? How did he know that nobody else would see this person or this thing?
He had a feeling at the time when he first started seeing it. He did start seeing it when people were in the room, and no, nobody else saw it. Nobody else could hear the thing.
Okay.
The thing would talk to him when he was in church, and he would look around, and nobody was reacting to it. When he specific things like going to church, the voice would keep telling him to get out, and he would get a headache, and his headache would get progressively worse until it chased him out. It chased him out of the sanctuary, and when he left, his headache would automatically disappear. This thing would start telling him to do things like get in your truck, and he would get in his truck and wake up 3 hours later, and he would be 150 miles away, sitting in his truck that still started in front of a convenience store, and he had no idea how he got there. The thing hated his girlfriend and would tell him, "You got to get rid of your girlfriend. Get rid of her." And when Travis was around his girlfriend, the thing was gone, which means he probably should have married that girl. But when he was talking to her on the telephone, the thing he would feel that it wasn't anywhere near him. But as soon as he left his girlfriend's house or got off the phone, it would come back and it would be angry and hit him with headaches again. He eventually broke up with the girl. The thing then started telling him that he had to get rid of his father. And at that point, he started talking to his dad about it. And his dad's a big churchgoer, and they had prayer session after prayer session after prayer session. And finally, the thing left. Travis said that it didn't disappear, but it's in the back of his head somewhere. He knows it's there. It just hasn't reared its head again. Travis is 24 now and is the night manager at Taco Bell. But he seems to be doing pretty well. And this case actually really means a bit to me because we go to church with these people. We go to each other's house for dinner, and I know them extremely well. And Travis, both Travis and his father, this physically, I can tell that it really upsets them.
Now, the skeptics in our audience are going to say maybe he should go to a psychiatrist and get some more intensive therapy to find out what's going on, to look for mental demons rather than physical ones.
Well, yes, and of course there's that. I'm with the really old school, thousands of year old, sort of cure. We need to drill holes in people's heads.
Oh, gotta that's one answer.
Yeah.
Any other instances of possession or maybe something that requires exorcism?
Well, not in this book, no. This was my one case of exorcism. I try and stay away from the darker ones, but the occasional dark story I like to stick in.
So I know that when you're talking about sort of paranormal and supernatural things, one thing that you cover in the book is the whole issue of the use of Ouija boards, and you know how that comes into play with the paranormal and what people think about them, etc. I just wondered, you know, if you had any sort of interesting stories to tell about the cases you investigated and, you know, what conclusions you come away from the whole notion of, you know, using Ouija boards, et cetera.
Well, when it comes to Ouija boards or seances or automatic writing or just talking to things in an empty room, any of this is, you know, an invitation. You're saying, hey, somebody I can't see, something I can't see, come and talk to me. And if something is out there, and if something nasty is waiting around for an invitation to talk to you, that's the invitation. If I were to use a Ouija board, would something happen? I don't know. Probably not. I used a Ouija board once, and that was in high school, and that was just to hit on some chick.
Did you get the chick?
Yes, I did. Yes, which goes to show the Ouija boards are bad, because that was just the worst thing that could have happened to me.
Be careful what you wish for, or who you wish for, or whom you wish for. Sorry, people.
But all the interviews I've done, all the people who have worked with Ouija boards, bad things happen. And I try to just warn people to stay away from something where traditionally bad things happen. And I said saying something into an empty room. I interviewed a guy from South Missouri who hunts, and he owns quite a bit of land, and he has a trailer, a pop-up trailer, way back in the woods that he uses when he goes deer hunting. And he went out one night, the night before deer season started a couple of years ago, and was sitting around the campfire having a couple of beers, and said he didn't feel like he was alone, and he said out into the darkness, you know, I think something's out there. If you're out there, come sit by the fire and have a beer with me. And later in the evening, his the trailer started rocking like crazy. He couldn't see anything out, you know, of the holes that he had to look at. He tried to open the door. The door was locked from the outside, and that's not possible. It doesn't lock from the outside. It just locks from the inside. And he told whatever it was out there shaking the trailer to move. He was going to shoot at the door, and he blasted the door until the lock came open, and there was nothing out there. And after that point, whenever he walks by a door, the door moves at least 6 inches. He said no matter where he is or the weight of the door. So he's convinced that whatever he invited to sit next to him by the fire came and stuck with him. It hasn't done anything bad, but it creeps the hell out of him.
Did you ask him to demonstrate this to you?
I interviewed him. Interviewed him and some of his family members over the phone. But he lives a good 8-hour drive from me. So no, I didn't.
This is not something that you're going to come to his house and say, "Okay, move that door 6 inches."
Yeah, no. Well, if he lived closer, I would.
So in general, Ouija boards, I don't know. I've always been concerned about them, but the only time I really used them, I was a teenager, and my best friend's mother seemed to have luck, but I think she was just putting us on. And that's a good question, too. With a Ouija board, how much of it is just subconscious movement of the thing there?
Well, it could be. Or, I mean, you could easily do some sleight of hand to make the planchette move. I'm not saying I'm a believer in Ouija boards. It's just something I just really don't want to play with.
You never tried. You never attempted, huh?
Well, just like I said, just that one time, and it didn't end well.
Right, and you'll never do it again.
Never.
So is that a warning here? Are there things people should do to avoid encountering so-called evil paranormal events?
No invitations. Don't call out. Hey, come and join me. Like I said, the Ouija board or trying to do automatic writing or things of that nature. I mean, depending on your religion, certain things from other religions you shouldn't do. If you're a hardcore Christian, stay away from Wicca. Of course, if you're a hardcore Wicca, you might want to stay away from Christianity, but it all has to do with somebody's belief system. And my belief system is just stay out of the way of these things.
Mm. So you're seeing in a lot of cases where people don't stay away from these things, they live to regret it.
Right. Well, and let's go back with the Wicca. I interviewed a woman from St. Louis a number of years ago who just innocently bought a book of spells, and she bought this old farmhouse, and she lived there for a while, and everything was perfectly normal, and then she found the book of spells she'd bought months ago and started to do a couple of minor ones, and all sorts of things started happening in her house, footsteps up and down the hallway in the middle of the night, doors opening and closing, and then she started seeing a shadow man in her house.
I'll tell you what, we'll get to the shadow man and the other phenomena in a moment. Jason Offutt, author of What Lurks Beyond, joining us. Co-host is Nicholas Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey, neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name-brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209. And the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If your handgun is loaded and easy to get to, it's also dangerous. What if you could reach your loaded handgun instantly and still provide a margin of safety for your family? Introducing the Drag and Draw Gun Vault from MyQuickSafe.com. The Drag and Draw Gun Vault is a small portable gun safe for subcompact pistols or snub-nose revolvers. It's made of heavy gauge steel, padded inside, and uses your fingerprint to open and close. With the Drag and Draw Gun Vault, you'll now be able to keep your handgun locked and loaded without fear of an accident. See the revolutionary Drag and Draw Gun Vault in action and order yours online at MyQuickSafe.com. That's MyQuickSafe.com. Or call toll-free 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. That's 1-877-327-0365. Or go to MyQuickSafe.com. Stay locked, loaded, and safe with the Drag and Draw Gun Vault from MyQuickSafe.com.
On air, online, and on demand.
They say we offer simple answers to complex problems.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast, but you never know what's going to happen next.
We have our final session with Jason Offutt, author of What Lurks Beyond the Paranormal in Your Backyard. And we're talking about this person who decided to play with spells and live to regret it. Let's continue.
Well, yeah, a lot of ghostly type activity happened in this house that hadn't started until she tried to cast a couple of spells, and it built up to the point to where she started seeing a shadow person in her house, and the shadow person started getting more bold, and she started to hear her name whispered. And after that, I completely lost contact. She didn't want to talk about it anymore, or she ran off. I'm not sure, but the point is with spells, or if you don't have a CDL, you can't. Don't drive a big truck. Okay, if you're not trained to do an exorcism, don't try to do an exorcism. That's kind of my point on Ouija boards. If you don't know what you're doing, don't do it. Stay back.
But how do you know what you're doing? What kind of training is there to use a Ouija board? Do we have Ouija board school?
Well, there are lots of people out there who claim they know what they're doing, but it's a Ouija board. Who knows what they're doing? So again, basically, my thought is, yeah, just stay away. Don't poke the bear.
Let's poke the bears in a different way in this final section of the Paracast, and that is, how do we take all these events, tons of stuff happening in your neighborhood? We know wherever we go around the world, there will be other cases similar, maybe some different. But how in the end can we possibly take all this stuff and figure out what's really happening? How can we prove it to a point where real scientists, as opposed to the few that do explore here, but just mainstream scientists will say, you know what, this is worth looking into?
Well, you just have to show them enough evidence. And what mainstream scientists have, Dr. John Mack, when he started doing his research, realized, oh, wait a second, there's something going on. Dr. Jeff Meldrum, the anthropologist of Utah State or Idaho State, I don't remember, when he started doing a little bit of research, and let me take a look at these, Bigfoot, foot cast, plaster cast, and then he noticed, wait a second, these couldn't have been faked. This is a primate footprint, and until you pique somebody's interest like that, it's not going to be proven to scientists. The problem is, scientists, you're not going to get tenure if you start researching this stuff. You're not going to get, promoted. You're not going to get grant money if you're researching the paranormal. So it's going to take a special scientist in order to start doing that kind of research.
The other thing is here is that some people want to compartmentalize these various subjects. So we have UFOs in one category, ghosts in another, strange creatures, possession. So that makes it difficult, because can we really separate any of this stuff? Is it all due to similar causes?
Well, which is a great question, and a lot of people have explored that, trying to find a unified paranormal field theory. It doesn't seem to be that, that ghosts and UFOs are connected. It doesn't seem to be that UFOs and Bigfoot are connected, but there are so many reports out there that do connect them. Unfortunately, people out there who are trying to do the research are focused on, this is a UFO, it's a nut and bolt craft from a different galaxy. How can it have anything to do with UFOs? Now, the first time I heard Jim Mars talking about, he started collecting stories about the base in Roswell, the hospital, and the hospital used to be, people reporting seeing, ghosts of ETs, wow. I'd never tried to put those together before. I don't know. It's going to stay compartmentalized, when people are with a mind frame that Bigfoot can't have anything to do with the paranormal. It's an animal.
So it's all paranormal tunnel vision. I kind of think you think the same, right, Nick?
Yeah, I think, when I first got into subjects like this, that my view was that they were all completely separate. But then, it's very often the case that the more you dig into them, you do find intriguing and sometimes quite significant parallels where, you have to begin to wonder, is this subject truly isolated from that subject? And a lot of researchers, particularly those who are very much belief-driven, are quite hostile to the idea that their little pet subject could possibly have anything to do with anything else. For example, a lot of the old guard who grew up within the UFO field on books like from the likes of Hynek and Kehoe, etc., are quite openly hostile to the possible Bigfoot connections between some of these phenomena, or the idea that the Men in Black could have anything other than government agency connections. The idea that they're paranormal or something is just like a no-go area. But if you're honest with yourself as a researcher, I think you have to realize that there are crossovers, and what we need to understand is why these crossovers exist, how they exist, and more importantly, why people are so determined to ignore them. And I think part of it just comes down to people just don't want their belief systems affected from the safe comfort zone that they're already in.
So we're talking about artificial limits to the investigation of all this stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of the artificial limits are actually promoted by people within the field. That's the ironic thing, is that, it's almost like we're looking for the answers to a lot of secrets, but there's a high degree of self-censorship going on as well.
So that's a good question, Jason. At what point did you think that all this might be related? Because you certainly treat it that way in your books.
Right. Well, it only happened in the last couple of years when I really started writing fairly heavily about the paranormal. And came to realize, all the stuff that people say they know about ghosts and UFOs and Bigfoot, these are all still unknown quantities. We don't know what's going on, really. We can speculate. And why can't all these things be connected? That was when it really hit me is, we don't know what a ghost is. I mean, they've been reported in every culture throughout the planet for as long as, as far back as we go. So, are there ghosts? Yeah, it sounds like there may be, but why can't they be connected with something else? Because we don't have a textbook that says science says this. So I'm all for these things being one and the same.
So ghosts may not be the return of someone who just died.
No, it could be a bit of undigested beef, a potato, or a plot of mustard.
What about interdimensional or time travel? Some people suggest when we see a ghost, we're actually peering into another reality where that ghost is really a living physical person.
Which is something I touched about when I was researching shadow people. I posted on my blog, of course it's completely unscientific, but I posted a poll on what do you think shadow people are, and I had an extensive list, and one of the things on the list was interdimensional travelers, and that got probably 85% of the votes. Of course, when I talked to physicists about this, they got a pretty big chuckle over it being an interdimensional traveler. But popular culture right now, that makes a lot of sense. It frankly makes a lot of sense to me too.
I'll tell you what makes a lot of sense to us is we have about a minute and a half left. Jason Offutt, take a few moments to talk about your new book.
What lurks beyond the paranormal in your backyard? Basically, I set out to find and prove to people that the paranormal is everywhere. It's not just in, you know, isolated corners of the world. It's not just in the, you know, Amazon rainforest. It's right outside your back door. I'm looking out my window right now into my backyard, and I can see one of the haunted spots that's in my book from my back window. So it's everywhere. Okay, and I challenge people, I challenge all the listeners to look outside your back door and find whatever paranormal thing's out there, because it's looking through your screen at night.
Maybe my screen, I'll have to start taking a look. The book is called What Lurks Beyond the Paranormal in Your Backyard from Jason Offutt, and it's from the Truman State University Press, available from Amazon Books and lots of places. Nick Redfern, where do we find more of the things you do?
You find more about the things I do at nickredfern.com, which is an easy one to remember, hopefully.
And what's your next book, by the way?
I have a book coming out in about 2 weeks called Final Events, which is probably the most controversial book I've ever written. And it actually deals with a think tank type group I've uncovered in the government, in the US government, that believes the whole UFO phenomenon is not extraterrestrial, but has demonic, literal demonic origins.
And you'll be here to talk about that book in the very near future. We want to thank
you. I will.
You darn will. Maybe we'll have Jason be the one to question you. We'll see.
Okay.
Next week we have David Hatcher Childress to return to answer your questions and talk about Yeti. Special thank you always to Nick Redfern for being one of our co-hosts on the Paracast. Jason Offutt, thank you so much for being on the Paracast.
Gene and Nick, it's been great being on. Good to talk to you guys.
You too, Jason. Thanks a lot.
The Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.